Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, January the 2nd, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study today. We're grateful for how you continue to reveal to us the fulfillment of your word. And we ask, Lord, that you would continue to give us the strength that is necessary so that we might stand with you and for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our title for today is The Rise of the Christian Coalition, Part 1. The Rise of the Christian Coalition, Part 1. Now, I'm sure that you're all aware of the fact that the far-right evangelicals have come together, and they're pushing the agenda that they've had ever since the beginning of this nation. Back in the day when they were really described as the National Reform Association or the National Reform Movement, going all the way through the 1800s, all the way to the present. At different periods of history, they were very hopeful that they would have been able to put into place the program that they have always had in mind to turn this nation and indeed the world into a Christian nation, or a theocracy, as it is called. At their various times, they were apparently successful or going to be successful. But things did not work out the way they wanted them to work out. And so, in this particular time in which we live, ever since the 2016 election, a number of things have come to surface. A number of organizations have become well known because of the support that this particular administration has had from the far-right evangelicals. And notice that they kind of abandoned the concept of Protestantism. Apparently nobody protests anymore. And so all of a sudden we see this obvious connection between this administration and the far-right evangelicals. But it didn't start here. Indeed, it started all the way back, all the way back. The original desire to place the word God in the Constitution began back in the early 1800s. There was even an attempt to pass a national Sunday law in 1888. It was called the Blair Bill. And a young man called Alonzo T. Jones went down and argued against it. Led by the Holy Spirit, he caused that bill to be ignored or put away or not passed. But I want to start a little series in the next few days showing you how things have changed, at least during the year 2000, since 1999. As I said before, it began before that. But the series that I'm going to take a look at is found in the Eureka Report. That's the website. Eureka Report. The first article that we're going to take, as a matter of fact, the article that we're going to take a look at was published on the 7th of January, 2004. And the writer of the article is Catherine Eureka. Y-U-R-I-C-A. The name of the website again? Eureka Report. Now, Catherine Eureka was educated at East Los Angeles College and of School of Law. She worked as a consultant for Los Angeles County and as a news correspondent for the Christianity Today, plus as a freelance investigative reporter. She's the author of 3 books, and she's also the publisher of the Eureka Report. Now, here's the title of the article that we're going to be taking a look at. GOP moves to intimidate and control the U.S. federal courts. The title again, the GOP, that would be the Republican Party, moves to intimidate and control the U.S. federal courts. Now, I know that everybody is aware of the fact that President Donald Trump has placed more than 220 judges in place and 3 justices on the Supreme Court. But I want you to know that it started before this. Started before him. And so let me give you the title again. The GOP moves to intimidate and control the U.S. federal courts. Here's the article. America stands on the edge of a grave constitutional crisis linked to Pat Robertson. How the GOP congressional faction is executing a plan to intimidate and control the U.S. Supreme Court in an extraordinary moment of history is revealed. Chief Justice William H. Rehnquist pointedly criticized Congress for passing legislation that encroaches upon the federal judges' sentencing prerogatives. The legislation called the Protect Act by Mr. Rehnquist was passed in the spring of 2003, but received little public notice since it was tacked on to the Amber Alert bill as an amendment. But the legislation has serious implications for the checks and balances system of the United States government. What is at stake is whether America will continue to have an independent judiciary or whether the federal judicial system will be subject to the will of Congress through the use of intimidation. The battle lines have been drawn, but what is probably unknown by most of us is that Congress is following a blueprint that originated in an unlikely place. It was a gift born on American television. All right, so that's the introduction to the article. And I hope that you will pay attention to this because you are going to discover some rather interesting implications concerning all of what we're seeing happening around us now, but that began back then. Now, here's a background, continuing. The Protect Act came into being through the Feeney Amendment. It requires the United States Sentencing Commission to maintain a judge-by-judge record of sentencing departures that would be deviations from the congressionally approved sentencing guidelines, and to send these records to the U.S. Attorney General's office. Congressional committees would then have access to the records through the Justice Department. In short, it is an ingenious way of intimidating judges and to keep them within the letter of the law. As such, it represents a disavowal by Congress of judicial discretion. Now, let me pause to say that originally, these three independent areas of government in the United States were independent. That would be the judicial, the judges, the executive, the president, and the House and Senate. All right? These were three independent powers, supposedly independent. But as you see here, the article is describing a change, a shift, where the Congress, all right, is now taking control of the judicial. And of course, you've noticed in the presidency that we are under right now, in the time of Donald Trump, you'll see that the president has absolute control over the Congress and the Senate. They don't move except he speaks. And now you see also the Congress, based on what this researcher is saying, the Congress has direct control over the judiciary or the court system, which means that these three independent and equally strong powers in government, in this democracy, in this Republican form of government, no longer remain independent, but are being brought under central control. Continuing the article, it says this: the Judicial Conference of the United States, chaired by the Chief Justice and consisting of 27 federal judges, is the policy-making body of the court system. It voted unanimously to ask Congress to repeal the amendment. Senator Edward Kennedy, worried about the balance of power between the three independent branches of the U.S. government, and this is introducing a bill to repeal the act. However, the controlling faction of Congress has no intention of repealing the legislation. So notice, said Senator Edward Kennedy, he was worried about the balance of power between the three independent branches. Those three branches were supposed to be independent. All right, but based on some of the laws that were being passed back in the year 2003. Continuing the article, it says this. The plans to revamp the U.S. government began in 1985. The struggle that the Chief Justice brings to our attention in his annual report did not begin in 2003. The policy and the plans to implement a governmental revamp were stated publicly by Pat Robertson in 1985. Now, of course, you know, when you turn on your television on the weekend and you look at Pat Robertson on the television as he continues to speak, you realize that he is advanced in age now, and even though he still articulates his opinion, you do not get the impression that his opinion is the one that is driving policy. But let me tell you this, when you go back and you look at the history of the coming together of the far right and the takeover of the Republican Party, you will realize that Pat Robertson had a major role in that entire process. Continuing the article, it says this. In the early 1980s, I began to tape, record, and transcribe Robertson's 700 Club because the topics discussed were decidedly political and involved grassroots political recruitment for and against office holders. Robertson's plans were breathtaking. He outlined a long-range program to gain nothing short of control of the government of the United States. The goal was to control the country by the year 2000. Now, of course, this is the writer of the article talking, and she's making the point that she has been tracking Pat Robertson since the year 1985, and she realizes that most of his programs back then, and I don't know if you realize that the 700 Club has been on broadcast since then, back in the early 1980s. But she's making the point that she's been recording, she's been transcribing, and she's making sure that she's got all of the records of all of the discussions that they've had. And she's noticing that the majority of the discussions are political. And instead of it being a religious broadcast, she's making the point that they involve grassroots political recruitment for and against office holders. Continuing, she says, Robertson's plans were breathtaking. He outlined a long-range program to gain nothing short of control of the government of the United States. The goal was to control the country by the year 2000. All right. Now, just so I can pause and let you catch up with me, I'm reading from the Eureka Report, and the Eureka Report is spelled Y-U-R-I-C-A, and the article begins on the 7th of January, 2004, and the title of the article is "The GOP Moves to Intimidate and Control the U.S. Federal Courts." As I said before, what we see happening now is not new. It has been on play for quite a while. And it's going to take a few of these broadcasts to help you to understand where this started and how it got to where it is. Continuing the article, she says this. I amassed over 1,200 pages of pertinent transcripts over a period of years. In 1985, I recorded Mr. Robertson's revamping plan for the Supreme Court. I might add that Robertson had the dubious talent to make even murder sound reasonable, as the excerpts from my book, The New Messiahs, show. Robertson's plan to take over every office in the United States was not as harebrained as one would imagine. According to Tim LaHaye, co-author of the Left Behind series of novels, who appeared on Robertson's show and outlined the plan, there were 110,000 fundamentalist churches in America. If each church sponsored one candidate for office, the Robertson faction would control every elective office in the United States, since there were only 97,000 offices in America. Before total control, could be accomplished, however, the Robertson faction had to gain control of the Republican Party. Once the Republican Party was conquered, and it would be, Robertson would and did use millions of dollars donated to the cause by Robertson's 700 Club viewers to pour funds into congressional campaigns. Now, let me just pause to say that I doubt very much that those people who were contributing to his program, his 700 Club, and they still do contribute. But I doubt very much those people who were contributing at the time realized what they were contributing to. They, of course, thought this was a religious program, and they were giving their offerings, you know, contributing to the ministry. But that was not what the intent was here. Once the Republican Party was conquered, says the writer here, Eureka, and it would be, Robertson would and did use millions of dollars donated to the cause by Robertson's 700 Club viewers to pour funds into congressional campaigns. By 1992, Robertson's faction distributed 40 million copies of the Family Values Voter Guide to more than 100,000 churches nationwide. By 1994, the GOP took control of Congress and gained control of the Republican Party in at least 31 states. Now you begin to understand the significance of this, right? Because I think you begin to grasp, suddenly begin to grasp, the significance of what is happening here. This is not accidental. By no means is it accidental. And the far-right evangelicals did not first move against Congress or did not first move against the national government. Their first job was to make sure that they controlled, listen to me now, they controlled the state legislators. So that by 1994, the GOP took control of Congress and gained control of the Republican Party in at least 31 states. Continuing the article, it says this. According to Robertson, once the GOP faction consolidated the control of Congress, they were free to develop the true constitutional vision of the three branches of government, executive, legislative, and judiciary. With a selection of George W. Bush for president of the United States in the year 2000. Notice the word selection and not election. And we don't need to go over that. I think you know what we're talking about here. The reaction faction of the Republican Party experienced the flush of power and fulfillment. Robertson's first target was always the judiciary. He prayed for the death of the justices who wrote decisions he disliked. He opened the floodgates of hatred in America on his national television show, targeting so-called liberal activist judges. Millions of followers did not ask and did not question what their spiritual leader said. Now I'm reading, okay? I'm reading the Eureka Report, 2004. Continuing. Robertson wanted to reduce or eliminate the power of the judiciary. He denied that the Constitution provided a system of checks and balances between three separate and equal branches of government. He stated the Supreme Court usurped its power to review the constitutionality of legislation when John Marshall made a power grab and took it. Chief Justice Marshall's famous decision in 1803, the Marbury versus Madison, was and is reprehensible to Robertson. In fact, Robertson went further. He denied that the judiciary is a co-equal branch of the government. Instead, he saw the judiciary as a department of the legislative branch, which he believed was the dominant figure of power in the nation. His reasoning went like this. Since Congress has complete authority to establish the lower federal courts and to establish the appellate jurisdiction of the Supreme Court, the court system is necessarily subordinate to the legislative. Robertson's idea was that Congress could control the court by using its power to intimidate. For example, he said, Congress could say there's a whole class of cause cases you can't hear, and there's nobody can do anything about it. And so what was his political plan? I mean, Robertson's political plan? He had two concepts that would revamp our government. First, Americans must be ruled by godly men in the legislative branch, not by laws. Secondly, Congress should limit the power of the courts. In other words, if the Supreme Court hands down a decision that is offensive to Congress and the president, Robertson says they should absolutely ignore the court. He said, it's time they do it. Robertson's final coup de grace to the courts was that Congress should use every punitive measure available to control and intimidate federal judges to get them in line. If necessary, Robertson said, Congress should increase the number of Supreme Court justices to 15 or cut it down to 7 or 5, whatever suited the congressional majority at the time, for by increasing or decreasing the number of judges sitting on the court, Congress could effectively control the wayward panel of judges. For the court power to establish the number of justices can be twisted into a means of firing judges by a simple majority of Congress or by adding additional judges to the bench. It can be a means of diluting the influence of the original sitting judges. Now, we're going to stop there for today. But I want you to understand that this entire thing began back before 1985. But of course, we're looking at where this began. And notice a powerful role that is being played here by Pat Robertson. And his political plan, as we said just now, had two concepts that would revamp our government. First, Americans must be ruled by godly men in the legislative branch and not by laws. And secondly, that Congress should limit the power of the courts. Now, of course, when Revelation chapter 13 and verse 11 begins to talk about the fact that the United States of America will stop speaking like a lamb and begin to speak like a dragon, this is obviously the fulfillment of that. But that was just the beginning. What we're seeing now, the silence that we're seeing from on the side of the far-right evangelicals, and for the most part, the Republican Party, in some of the things that are happening right now, their absolute silence is a confirmation of what began quite a while back, and which will even increase in intensity. And it is exactly what God has warned us concerning, which means that you and I today need to be ready for the changes that are coming, that are already here, and will only intensify as time progresses. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to warn us. But we also thank you that you continue to protect us. We ask, Lord, that you would give us that kind of strength that is necessary so that we will walk with you and stand with you and defend your truth on every level. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again today, we must thank you for your consistency in listening to the broadcast each and every day. We're grateful that God has drawn us together that we can study. And we'd like to make an appeal to you that you make a contribution to this ministry so that we might be able to finance our continued service in this area. God bless you and thank you. This is your daily briefing, January the 2nd, 2021.